Heavenly Father, thank you for allowing us to rise up out of bed this morning and come and share together around your word, and especially around the living word, the person of our Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you for him and for what he's done on our behalf. We thank you that today we come to remember his resurrection on the Lord's Day, the first day of the week. We give this portion back to you and ask you would help us to be a blessing one to another, to edify one another, and that your name would be honored and lifted up in our midst. And we'll thank you. Thank you for our missionaries this week and for allowing us to meet these folks today, for Brother and Sister DeVerna. Bless them as they come and share with us their work. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Thank you.
Good morning. Ohayou gozaimasu. O genki desu ka? How's everyone doing today? Are you awake this morning? Are you excited to be here? Well, we are excited to be here as well. Very happy to be able to share with you what the Lord has put on our hearts. My name is Daniel DeVerna. My wife, Karen, if you'd stand quickly. I won't embarrass you at all. I'll do that later. I'm just kidding. I like to have fun. I am excited that we can have fun and yet have a good time. A few things I want to show you. First of all, I want to start off with a short story. Karen's parents are actually missionaries to Japan. And I'd heard, as he was ministering to the children as more of an outreach opportunity, he was telling them about Adam and Eve. And he was telling them the story, and he got to the part, did or did they not partake of the fruit? He climaxed it there and decided, next week, we will find out. The Japanese children had never heard the story before. They didn't know. They honestly didn't know if Adam and Eve did or did not partake of the fruit. They hadn't heard the story before. They haven't heard many of the Bible stories before. Now, how many of you here have a Bible? And you better all raise your hand. All right. Now, how many of you have, say, three Bibles in the home? Four, five, 10, 15, 20, 30, 40, not sure. Well, either some of you just have a lot of Bibles or you have large families, I'm not sure. But it's amazing the availability of the Bible that we have here in the United States. I honestly have, if I count my electronic editions of the Bible, probably have somewhere between 40 to 50 Bibles. Amazing. Not that I would recommend all those translations or use all of them. I got them free. But it's amazing the availability of the Bible. Karen and I, on our short-term trip, we went to get a Japanese Bible. It took an hour and a half one way to go get the Bible. An hour and a half back. Here in the United States, I decided I needed a new Bible. I went 6-8 minutes down the road to Walmart. Low prices every day, right? Gotta love that. The Bible was in stock, on the shelf, in the translation I wanted. Now, I had to greatly sacrifice because I wanted black, and I got burgundy. Also, they didn't have a regular font size. It was giant size. But I figured, hey, I'm getting older. I'll use that eventually, right? That's a benefit. In and out of the door, back home, probably round trip, half hour. I had a new Bible, a half hour. Japan, it took us 3 hours. How many of you have been to Japan before? A few of you. Good. I'd like to take you to Japan today through Google Earth. So this is the United States. Just in case you were wondering where you were at this morning. And we'll zoom in where we're roughly this morning here in Ann Arbor, Michigan. Now I want you to just kind of take a look at the surrounding area. See, there's a good number of buildings and cities on the left, not quite so on the right. We're going to go all the way over to Japan. Japan is made up of about 3,000 islands. Most of you are familiar with Tokyo. The greater area of Tokyo has somewhere between 35 to 42 million people in it. one of the largest areas in the world, one of the largest cities. Zooming into Tokyo, just to give you an idea as far as relation, we're going to be an hour and a half northwest of Tokyo in Saitama-ken, more specifically in Moriyama. Now look at this area. Not quite as much forests or trees. They actually consider that a small town. Small town in Japan. There's only 35,000 people there. That was extra. Now we'll get into the normal presentation. I like to show that just to give you a reference point of where we're going to be at. So Japan, just in case you haven't realized that, that's where my wife and I are heading as missionaries with Biblical Ministries Worldwide. Now here you say, well, obviously, Brother Daruna, they need the Lord. Everyone does. But what's so different about Japan? What's so different about them? Well, one thing, the availability of the gospel is not there as well as other areas. How many of you have heard of the 1040 window? Have you heard of that before? Okay, I'm not going to show you that this morning. But Japan does fall within that. What I'm going to just show you this morning is a little bit more specific. Here you'll find Japan, your top right, fully in the red. This is depicting the least reached people groups in the world. Japan obviously falls within that. I like this map because it's a little bit more specific than the 1040 window. If I'm not mistaken, the 1040 window only shows about 76% of the least reached people groups or unreached people groups in the world. Another interesting thing about Japan that I hadn't realized before, and I found this out a few months ago, maybe a year ago, I don't know, time goes so fast, but just amazing to me, the Japanese people are actually one of, if not the largest, least reached people groups in the world. I'll say that one more time. The Japanese people are or close to the largest, least reached people groups in the world. The quote that I found actually said they were the largest, least reached. Now, I know things change quickly and numbers can fluctuate, so I don't like to use that. But the Japanese people, one of the largest, least reached people groups in the world. Amazing. Amazing. We can go into Japan as a missionary on a missionary visa. Their doors are open. We can freely preach the word of God, the gospel, that Jesus Christ is Lord and that He's rose. We can actually put tracts in mailboxes. It's not a federal offense. Now, it's not easy. But as far as their constitution states, there's freedom of religion there. My area director jokes that maybe we need to tell people that it's closed like China, so more people will want to go there. But it's interesting. It's very interesting. A little bit about ourselves. I was excited when I was a missionary kid. Are you guys excited this morning? Yeah. I was born in a Christian family. It didn't make me a Christian. I came to know the Lord at a young age. I was about 5 years old when I called upon Him. Now, there's a few things that led me to missions, to Japan. Some of those being short-term trips. And I know they have their advantages and disadvantages. But I was able to go to New York. This was after the 9/11 attacks. Amazing to see how the Lord used that. Absolutely amazing. People would reject the tract, and then they'd look and realize that it said God Bless America on it, or it'd have a flag or something patriotic. They'd actually backtrack and then take it. Amazing. Also, I went to Suriname. This is located in South America. This is actually a third world country. One thing that was amazing about this is thousands and thousands of miles away, people that I not only didn't know, but I couldn't understand their language, sitting in the body of believers there as they worship and praise the same God I did. Amazing. Absolutely amazing. My home church is Motville Bible Church. This is in Motville, Michigan. It's about 20 minutes over the Indiana border. We're only about 2.5 hours from you folks. So in some sense, we're in your backyard. This is actually one of our sending churches out of two. My wife's is also a sending church. We have two sending churches or dual sending churches. I met her at Appalachian Bible College. This is in Bradley, West Virginia. Now, God had this all planned out. It was my first semester there. It was her last semester before she would go student teaching her second semester. If I would have been one semester later, I may not have met her by one semester. So I praise God for her. I'm thankful for her. And this is her part now with her testimony. She's got Luke. He's our newest. This is actually the first time that we've came and presented. We had some time off as she had Luke this last December, July. She's my little data book and my GPS before we got the GPS.
Our oldest was born in December, so he wasn't too far off. Wrong child.
Now, we didn't forget to dress Luke. He's not in his jammies. He's actually in a Japanese yukata, a baby yukata. This is a summer outfit. So.
Mm-hmm. We weren't sure if we were quite ready to leave him in the nursery. He's still kind of little, so we'll let Daniel take a turn. When I was pregnant, we shared at one church, and we were passing Malachi off because they didn't have a nursery there. And the pastor said, well, what are you going to do with two? And we said, well, we don't know. But thankfully, you guys have a nursery. So Malachi's up playing there, and we've got Luke, and we're doing okay. But we're glad to be with you here this morning. We got to meet some folks from the church yesterday evening and just had a nice time of fellowship with them, some of the younger families. And now we're here with you this morning, and I am Karen, and I had the privilege of growing up in a Christian home also. When I was 2 years old, my family went to Japan to serve the Lord as missionaries there. So Japan's not new to me, but I'm excited to go back there and share the gospel where I have spent some years. During our first term on the field, I got to be involved in a Japanese wedding. That's where this picture was taken. I was excited to be involved in that. I was actually a flower girl there, which was different than here. We took flowers up to the bride and groom at the reception, kind of. It was different, but it was neat to be involved in that way. But more exciting than that, during the first term in Japan, my parents were faithful to teach me Bible stories and Bible verses, and the first verse I memorized was John 3:16, and through that verse I saw my need for a Savior, that God had sent Jesus to die for my sins. And I told my mom that I wanted to become a Christian, and together we went to the living room and I knelt and asked Christ to be my Savior. I am the oldest of five children. This is my family, my brother Peter and his wife Amanda is in the yellow, and my sister Rebecca, and then Brian and Bruce are twins. And my brother Brian, who's sitting next to me on the couch, has cerebral palsy. So we came back to the States when I was 12 years old to get help for him. He's fine mentally, but physically he is not able to walk. He uses crutches some and uses a wheelchair. So we came back to get help for him. And my dad was involved with their mission board near Reading, Pennsylvania. So we lived in the Lancaster, Philadelphia area in southeastern Pennsylvania during my junior high and high school years. And I was able to get involved at the church and the Christian school there. I was baptized there. I was involved on a missions trip to go to Papua New Guinea. I was interested in third world missions, and so I thought I'd give it a try. And it was challenging, I will say that. It was a neat experience. We went to a tribe where there was a missionary family or a couple families starting a church, and we were able to help them more with a service project to kind of help with their airstrip. But while we were there, we got to be involved in some of the services and see some of the ministries that took place there. But when I left Papua New Guinea, I said, God, please don't send me into tribal missions. I don't know if I can handle it. But I realized that's not the best attitude to have, so I told God I was willing to go anywhere and do anything. After I graduated from high school, I went to Word of Life Bible Institute up in Schoon Lake, New York for 1 year. And then I transferred to Appalachian Bible College in West Virginia, where I met Daniel, and I studied elementary education and Bible theology. But I knew my heart was still interested in missions, and I still wasn't quite sure where. I had wanted to go back to Japan, but it was kind of more my plans than God's plans, so I had to wait for his timing. And we had a missionary come share at ABC about the need in Asia. He worked with Word of Life Korea, where they're training Koreans to go into different Asian countries and share the gospel. And he shared how Jesus had compassion on the multitudes because they were like sheep without a shepherd. And he asked his disciples to pray that God would send more laborers into the harvest field. And I really felt God was leading me back towards Japan, where I was familiar with the language and the culture. And not long after that, I met Daniel, who was headed into missions, open to go anywhere. And so we kind of meshed God brought our lives together, and now we're headed towards Japan and excited about how God can use us there where we want to share His word. 神は実にその一人子をお与えになったほどによう愛された。それは御子を信じる者が一人として滅びることなく永遠の命を持つためである。ヨハネ3章16節。That's John 3:16 in Japanese. And that verse changed my life in English, and we hope to share it with the Japanese and help them change their lives. This is my home church, Twin Valley Bible Chapel, who is also taking a part in sending us to Japan. They're behind us through prayer and finances, and we're just thankful for both our home churches that are helping us get to the mission field of Japan.
Okay, we made it. Whew. I wasn't sure you were starting to get a little cranky. So the board we're going with is Biblical Ministries Worldwide. This is the BMW, if you will, of mission boards. Some of you got that. A pastor actually used that one time when he was introducing me, so I thought, well, every once in a while I'll try it and see how it goes. And sometimes I get some laughs, and sometimes I just get some stares like, what are you talking about? They don't get the initials. But there's a few reasons why we chose BMW. One of the reasons is because of the extensive doctrinal statement, which you'll find on our display table. Not that we couldn't agree with other doctrinal statements that other boards had, but we were very happy with the extensiveness and the detail that BMW put into that. Another thing with Biblical Ministries Worldwide is everyone who is with BMW is focused on church planting, which is what Karen and I are doing as well. As we go to Japan, we are planting a church. So we're very excited about that we're going over there to plant a church with the Japanese people. Our teammates right now, the Knox family, they've been in Japan for about 20 years. So we're excited to be going over there with them. Now, this is one specific prayer request, if you could remember, to pray for more teammates. Now, the Knoxes aren't really old yet, but I'm not either. But I'm thinking they'll be leaving before me, if that makes sense. That leaves us by ourselves. I don't like that idea. I see biblically teammates in missions. So I would like to see another 3 to 4 couples, Lord willing, come alongside us through BMW working with the Japanese people. Now, some of you might have an interest in missions, maybe interest in an Asian field or the Japanese people. If you have any questions, please feel free to come and talk to us. But I direct you to your pastor because I do believe biblically we see in the Word of God him working through the local church. So if you're interested in missions, even if it be another field, go talk to your pastor, please. Now, I mentioned that we're going to be doing church planting in Japan. How are we going to be doing that? There's basically 3 areas. I'd like to pause here just a minute just so you can understand what we're doing. How are we going to plant a church? Evangelism, discipleship, and leadership training. And then a church gets planted. That's the steps. Okay? So evangelism, what do you folks do here to tell people about the Word of God? This is where you talk. Pass out tracts. We're going to be doing that in Japan, passing out tracts. What else do you do?
Witness to your coworkers,
people that you are working with. Now, in Japan, it's going to be a little bit different relationship as far as our coworkers. The Knoxes are already saved because they're missionaries as well with BMW. But as far as coworkers, the aspect there that you're thinking of is someone that you're in contact with all the time. Now, we're going to be able to do that in Japan through a few different ways. One of those ways being basketball community outreach, in the sense that they actually already have basketball clubs in the community. We will be going and being involved in those, as the Knoxes are right now, and building that relationship and be able to witness to those people. What else do you guys do here? Maybe invite people in your homes. Okay, have them over for a meal. Like to eat? I like to eat a little too much. I'm working on that. We can. What's that?
VBS,
Vacation Bible School. Having children over, sharing the Word of God with them. Those things that you guys do here are things that we can do in Japan as well. A lot of times people ask me, well, what are you going to do in Japan? How are you going to outreach to them? How are you going to tell them about the Word of God? Well, the same things that you're doing here, I can do that over there as well. Now, the culture is a little bit different. The opportunities or the way about doing things will be a little bit different because of the culture and the customs there. But the key to this is relationships. building relationships with the Japanese people. Now, after evangelism, we see people come to know the Lord. We need to disciple them. We see this in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 2. We see Paul, who's discipled Timothy, who is to do what? Disciple faithful men, who are to do what? Disciple others also. So we see that discipleship process right there in Timothy. And this is the idea that we're going to use there as well. As those Japanese people come to know the Lord, we're going to disciple them. We're going to teach them the Word of God, train them, instruct them, that they may go and disciple others as well. It's a multiplication process, if you will, where Paul, do you think he stopped teaching the Word of God after Timothy was discipled? No, he didn't. He kept going, right? Now, Timothy, after he taught the faithful men, do you think he said, okay, I'm done? No, he didn't. So it kept going. Did anyone have an idea how many people are in the world today?
7 billion.
7 billion is close. It's not quite. On the last number I saw, maybe it is now, I don't know. But the last number I saw was about 6.5 or so. So round it up to 7, that's all right. About 7 billion people in the world today. Now through a process of spiritual multiplication, if you will, using the discipleship process where you disciple someone after they come to know the Lord, and then that individual would go and disciple someone else that would come to know the Lord as you are continuing that. It starts off a little slow. But the idea is not just one person seeing someone come to know the Lord and they stop. And then someone else who stops. And then someone else. And so you have maybe 3 people won. But as someone is won to the Lord, that person is discipled, trained, and then they share the good news of the gospel of Lord Jesus Christ. And then they disciple someone else. Through a process of that, do you know how long it would take for the whole world to hear about the Lord Jesus Christ? About 33 years. One generation. And that actually, I think, is like 8.5 billion if you do the math. Amazing. So, with the people that are in this room today, in 33 years, and obviously it is the Lord working and the Holy Spirit who's convicting, but just looking at it at a mathematical standpoint, we could reach the whole world just with the people that we have in today, this room, in less than 33 years, because there's more than just one person here. Isn't that amazing? It's amazing. Now, we have evangelism, discipleship, and then leadership training. This is a key here. A key. We need to have Japanese men in the church. Another specific prayer request, if you would, please pray for Japanese men. We need male leadership in the church. So very important. So very important. This is an area that is very difficult for them. They have very, very much dedicated their lives, if you will, to work, to the company, the job aspect. So it's very hard for them to get involved in the church. I've heard of the idea as far as a Japanese church plan, a missionary being called a pastor or a missionary pastor. And I understand the term. I don't particularly like it because I'm not going over there to pastor this church. I'm going over there to plant this church and then move on to plant another one. As I see that church that was planted reproduce themselves by them planting a church themselves. That goes back to the discipleship process with the church reproducing itself. So, evangelism, discipleship, leadership training, planting a church. Now, we have a director here. It's a church director or church relations individual who works with BMW. The question was asked of them, that's great. That's what your missionaries are to do in the field in foreign countries. What are we to be doing right here? You know what the answer was? After he stepped back and he studied it, he looked into it. 3 things. Evangelism, discipleship, leadership training. That's what we need to be doing right here. Another thing that's neat about this, and I'm probably spending too long a time on this, so I know I need to talk more about Japan, but this excites me. This is why we're going over there. I've been able to have an opportunity to be involved in all 3 of these areas right now. I've been able to do 2 internships with both of our sending churches. Actively been preaching through Philippians. I'm going to finish that up this Wednesday at my home church. So we're involved right now. We're involved in these processes or serving the Lord in some way. We've been able to do evangelism, discipleship. I've been able to set in with the leaders at my home church. So we've been involved now. And that's a challenge to you. Don't wait until school's done with, or don't wait until you get that next position at your job to serve the Lord. Serve Him right now. That's what we're here for, is to serve Him. We're not going to wait until we're in Japan to start telling people about the Lord. We're going to be telling people no matter where we're at. We're going to be serving Him no matter where we're at right now. So, the reason we're going over there are the people. Only a few things that are going to last forever. Some of those being the Word of God, God, and the souls of men. We're going over there to tell the souls about the Lord Jesus Christ. This is just a fast slideshow. Some of these people, you'll realize, they probably are saved. They are. Some of them are pastors. Some of them don't know the Lord, and they need to hear about Him. little bit about Japan quickly. Japan is just a little bit smaller than California, but it's 70% mountains. Okay? So that's a lot of people in a little spot because there's 127 million people in Japan. Okay? So that's really, really tight spaces. All right. Now, let me give you some idea about this. This is a comparison between the United States and Japan. Just give you a mental picture. The landmass of the United States compared to Japan. Okay. Now, this here is the people of the United States compared to the people of Japan. Okay. There's about half the population of the United States in Japan. Not quite. So if you can picture everyone in the United States by half in California, shrink a little bit. 70% mountains, and not a lot of space. There's about 870 people per square mile. That's a lot of people in a small spot. These are some pictures of Tokyo, just to give you an idea. It's not all like this, all skyscrapers and blacktop. There's some parks. There's some wildlife. It is a beautiful country. You've probably seen pictures of Mount Fuji before. Religions of Japan. There's two main religions in Japan. It's Buddhism and Shintoism. Okay? Those are your two main religions in Japan. Now, I like to play with this pie chart a little bit. And breaking this up, showing how many Christians there are in Japan. That's about 900,000, roughly. These would be born-again believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. This is the pie chart. Now you say, Brother Dan, you messed up the pie chart. There's no slice out of the pie. The number of believers in Japan are so small compared to the number of people in Japan that all we get is that small, thin, vertical line. About 0.7% of the people in Japan are saved. 0.7%. And that's really high. If you look at just the Japanese in Japan, I've heard it as low as 0.4% of the Japanese in Japan that are saved. Buddhism. You've heard about Buddhism. Shintoism. Very, very sad. Very sad. These people are very bright. Very smart. But here, if you look at this gravestone in the bottom of the picture there, you'll actually see food and drink. That's left for their dead ancestors. What happens to that, I don't know. But I tell you one thing, their dead ancestor is not getting it. Very sad. Very sad. They'll go up and they'll ring the bell or they'll clap their hands to awaken the gods, to pray to them. They'll leave prayer requests or prayers or wishes tied up on ropes. I've seen that on bushes before. We need to be a witness no matter where we're at. We need to be testifying of the Lord Jesus Christ. Another fast challenge for you. Are you being a witness today where you're at, where the Lord has placed you? What type of a witness are you? Who are you testifying of? I mentioned a few specific prayer requests. Here are some more general ones. And then another specific, if you'd please not only pray for us, we do appreciate your prayers, but please pray for the nationals, the Japanese people, that their hearts would be open and then broken again and rebuilt upon the Lord. Just a few minutes purposely left for any questions. Any questions I might be able to answer.
Well, do they build out mountainsides like the Mexicans do?
You will see some buildings in the mountain areas. We actually have a camp that we use as an outreach. It's more in the mountains. But as far as like Tokyo and the larger cities, you'll see the people more in those dense areas. Yes?
You mentioned the basketball outreach. Could you like explain a little bit
about that and how you find that opportunity? Okay. We found that actually in a few different towns. I don't know if this is a custom with them. As we were on our short-term trip, we were both in the southern area of Japan and more of the central area of Japan. And in both areas, they had basketball communities where their community would get together and they'd have like this little basketball community event. And it's kind of like a regular thing that they would get together and do in their community. and both Karen's parents, who are working in the southern area of Japan, and both the Knoxes, who are working in the central area of Japan, had the opportunity to be involved in those because they were within the town, and they were actually be able to go and to participate and play basketball in that event. And through that, they would build their relationships and then be able to continue that relationship and eventually start inviting them to church or over for a meal and have the opportunity to share the Lord with them. Yes?
Are you joining with the missionaries that have already established church plan, or are you starting a new church?
No, we will be going over there, yes, to join with them as teammates. So they are with BMW as we are, and we will be working alongside of them as we learn the customs more so, the language. I myself am not very fluent in Japanese. I know a few words, a few terms. My wife actually is fairly fluent. So as I go over, I'll need to study the language in depth and also need to get adjusted to the culture. And so we will be partnering with them. But I would like to see others come over. And then as that Lord willing happens, then we can branch out in teams of families, still working with the Knox family possibly or with another couple that is along with BMW there in Japan, maybe reaching a couple different towns or cities. Any other questions? Yes? The church that the Knoxes are planning, I think, has an average of, what would you say, honey? It fluctuates. 6 to 10. Yeah, it's hard to say because every time we would go, it would be a different number of people there. The actual average size of a church in Japan is only about 15 people. So I would say maybe around 7 to 8 people on average right now on the church plant that they're working on. Was there 19 with everyone? Of course, they didn't all show up at the same time. Yes? It's compared to New York City. It's compared to New York City as far as the living cost. So it's not the cheapest to live, but at the same time, it's not the most expensive necessarily either. Some of that is due because of the land shortage, the people, and the small amount of land.
I was wondering if a couple of
I haven't heard anything about a loss of religious freedom within their constitution. Now, I kind of hit into it stopping past that as far as the freedom of religion through their constitution. The Japanese people are a web society, if you will. So if one of their relatives or friends decide, well, I want to start to follow Christianity, I'm interested in this, I want to become a believer, that's very, very difficult for them to do that because they are almost shunned. Specifically, the oldest sons in the family, because they are meant to pass on the praying to the ancestral family. We are out of time, but we do have a display board in the back. If you'd like to sign up on our prayer requests, you can go ahead and do that, and we send out weekly and also monthly updates. And also, if you have any other questions, we'd be happy to answer those in the back. And we thank you for your time. Let's close in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we do thank you so much for this day that we can freely come together as a body of believers and worship you, Lord. Lord, I pray that if a day would come that even in this nation that we will not do that, that freedom will not be there, but that we would still worship you, Lord, that we would still be bold enough to proclaim your name, proclaim your son, even if that freedom is gone. Lord, we thank you for who you are and what you've done in our lives. We thank you for the burden that you've laid upon my wife's and my heart as we head to Japan. We pray that you would be with the Knoxes there now as they serve and minister in your name. Lord, we pray that you'd work on the hearts of the Japanese people, that they would come to know you. In Jesus' name we pray, with thanksgiving. Amen.